Blog Talk Radio.
Evangelist Patricia Williams and Reverend Roosevelt Williams. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
Well, I'm just wonderful. How are you guys doing?
Doing great.
That's good. So, are you excited about this topic tonight, the both of you?
Amen. Yeah. Yes, we are.
All right. Okay, well, for the listeners, the topic goes as marriage, divorce, and remarriage, and same-sex marriages. We also included in there one flesh and unequally yoked. So those are the that's basically the topic that we will be discussing today according to Scripture. Now, is there, all right, Reverend Williams, do you want to start it off?
Yes, Williams, she can start off.
Okay, Evangelist Williams. Well, first of all, before we do this, let's do this. Evangelist Williams,
yes.
Before we start, would you go ahead and give us a prayer?
Amen. Amen.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you now. Thank you for the radio show tonight, oh God. Thank you for each person listening, oh God. We thank you, God, for the discussion, and we pray in advance that it will be to that of your glory. We thank you, God, for your word, and we thank you for understanding what your word is saying to us. And God, we thank you for the marriages. We even thank you for those who desire to get married. We realize that marriage is honorable in your sight, and we thank you for the show in advance. Bless the listeners on tonight. Bless the moderator, the co-host, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to just jump right in here then.
Amen. Okay, now, our first scripture is...
Go ahead. I'm with you. I'm going to be with you.
Okay. Our first scripture that we were going to discuss is Matthew 19, 3 through verses 12.
Uh-huh.
Amen. Is that what we have?
Already there.
Okay. Richard, would you like us to read it and discuss each one, and we can have input if anyone is in the chat room or, you know, anybody have anything to say, we can go one by one?
That'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Beginning at Matthew 19, verses 3, the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Okay. Now, if anybody have a revised version or, Ms. Sugar, I think you have all the versions right in front of you.
Okay, that's Matthew 19, 3 through which one?
That's Matthew 19, verse 3. That's just verse 3.
Okay.
I didn't have all of my Bibles out here.
Oh, that's fine. Just tell me what version you want it read from, and I got it.
Okay. Let's do it. Are the revised? The revised version. No, excuse my voice, because I've been in church all week.
Okay. You want the new revised version?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay, let's see what we have here. All right. Some Pharisees came to him, and to test him, they asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any cause?
Okay. All right. Now, I have international. The Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason?
Okay.
We're going to try to take it to where we can explain it plainly. We started kind of in the middle. Last year, I did a full course for 8 weeks on marriage. It was very, very, very enlightening, and it was all from the Word of God. Now, the reason we'll get to this later in this scripture, in these scriptures, where there's not a lot of reasons written in the Bible for a man and a wife to get a divorce.
Okay.
Some people get divorced for just anything. Make me mad about something, I pack my sack and leave. You know, and this is not according to the Word of God. The Bible says that marriage is offered and all of the dead undefiled. So the Lord doesn't give us a lot of reason to get divorced from each other. There's just not a lot of them that's written. Reverend Williams, do you have anything to say on verse 3 before we move on?
Yeah, because I got some more stuff that go along with it, but I'm going to let you finish yours. And so on verse 3, as you look at it, now I have the NIV, and I have the King James Version. And the question is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? That's what everybody need to catch on to in the Word of God. So that's the main part we need to catch on. And we always try to find reasons to get out of a marriage. But Minister, she's going to hit on some more stuff as she go along in the scripture. She came right out of my mind, but I went all the way to something else, too, that's going to conjive with her. But that's where I went today also. So I'm not going to mess up her flow. I'm going to let her stay, keep with her flow. She's right on it. Amen. Go ahead, Reverend.
Now, Reverend Williams pointed out any and every reason. So we're going to keep those two words in our minds.
Because that's what I was getting ready to ask him, because those were the words that he pointed out. And I did want a definite answer for the listeners as far as the any and every.
Yes. And before we close the session today, maybe Reverend Williams and I can, from some experience, and even you, Ms. Sugar, from some experience, things that have happened in our lives, in marriages, we make a point out some of the any and every reasons. Because, I think all of us have divorced and remarried. But is it lawful is what we're going to talk about. Is it lawful?
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Verse 4. And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Okay. Let me sugar read in another version.
Okay. It's taking me a minute here because my it's messing up on me, but we'll get there. Reverend Williams, do you have another version there available that you can read it?
I got I have the NIV.
Okay. Well, read that for me.
Okay, it says, haven't you read? He replied that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, for this reason. That's how far you want me to go, Minister?
Yes, yes. Because one of our one of the things we're going to talk about is same-sex marriage. So in verse 4, let's keep in our mind that God created male, which is a man, and woman, which is a female. Okay? So that right there deletes the same-sex marriage. Okay? Let's go to verse 5. And said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Now, I want Reverend Williams to talk about verse 5, if he will, because we're going to talk about two people in one person.
Okay.
Okay, in verse 5. From the NIV, it says, and for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. In other words, in a marriage, you ain't married to mom and dad.
Uh-oh.
You're married. Oh, that's what you want me to explain?
That's what I want you to explain.
In other words, God is trying to get us to understand that, number one, in a marriage, folks want to, every time they get mad or they get upset, and they ready to run home to mom and dad.
Okay.
Especially men. They want to call mom and dad and run straight home. But you're supposed to stay there with your wife.
Okay.
Because even in the words you're reading, but the traditional vows that we take binds right in with all this.
That's right.
We the first word come out, do you. That's you single thing. Okay? Promise? And the first thing we need to understand is, in a marriage, the commitment that you make is toward one another. But the actual commitment that you make is to God.
Okay.
You're telling God, this here person who you giving me, this treasure, man and woman, this treasure you giving me, I'm going to be a good steward over it. I'm going to love it, honor it, cherish it. Okay? And some of the things women don't want in there is obey, but they don't understand the obey part. That's because we look at obey as a thing of a slave. No, it's just being submissive to your husband. A submissive of not as a child. But the thing is, when another, just like Eve did in the garden, she listened to the serpent instead of listening to what her husband said. We should not partake of the tree. But she listened to a serpent and did just what she was supposed to do. And so God is trying to get both, not just her, but mostly the man. It's saying man in that form, reason, a man, his father and mother. Man is supposed to stick to his wife, cleave to her. Why? Because he becomes the head of the whole planet. But also, wives need to understand that they are to cleave to their husbands also. Okay, because a lot of wives, young folks mainly, soon as they get into a bickering, first thing they want to do is tag up. They want to run to friends. They want to run to family instead of sticking there and dealing with the situation at hand. Nowhere God said it was getting ready to be beautiful and roses. It's only going to be, it's a marriage. So,
So with that being said, are you saying whether or not there is a time ever a reason, or is there not a reason?
Reverend, you want me to answer that?
Well, I guess, sir, I sure do.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead, Minister. The Bible is
going to
explain to us the reason, but go ahead, Minister.
Okay, I was going to ask the same question. Reasons will occur, but when the Bible says that and they, twain, shall be one flesh,
you think about
if, Mr., you're not married at the present, but Minister Williams and I are married. So he and his wife are supposed to be one person.
Right. And I understand
that. Yeah, my husband and I are supposed to be one person. There's sometimes when you get ready to say something, your wife or your husband says the same thing you're ready to say. You open your mouth, and the same thing comes out at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Even though things might occur, if you look at one another, like in the beginning, we kind of started this session in the middle of the marriage thing because it should have been a lot of, like, groundwork done before we got into this part of the discussion. But if a person is one, it shouldn't be that easy for them to be divided if they're one. And like the Bible says that marriage is honorable and that, you know, you're supposed to, we do counseling before we marry. And we like to, if they're not saved already, we like to introduce them to Christ because marriage is built on a Christian foundation. And you know, I know that people who don't know anything about God get married too. And their thing is we love each other. But can you really love without having God in your life? I don't really think so. You have a passion or a lust for one another to satisfy the flesh only. But marriage is ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage is ministry. You know, so we have to look at it like if I'm one with my husband, then it doesn't need to be a threesome there anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't need to be a threesome there anywhere. I don't need to take advice from any outsider. Anything that need to be discussed, need to be talked about, need to be dealt with, is dealt with in the privacy of my own home between my husband and I.
Okay.
And that's the way it is. That's the way it's been for 18 years, and we have a wonderful marriage.
Okay.
So, yes, things occur. You have to deal with them, though. And neither one of us will get upset about anything enough for us to grab our sack and go nowhere.
Okay. Now,
it's not because
I guess
we all believe it.
I know, well, you know, I wasn't going to call you old, because you know what that means, right?
You old, yeah.
Yeah. I guess when you say we should have laid the groundwork, I guess because we didn't cover all of it, and the topics talk about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And right now it seems that we're talking about marriage, but mm-hmm. but as we know, in some marriages, there are things that do come up, and divorce does happen.
Yes,
you know,
it happens to all of us. It happens to all of us, and it's a real fact now. It's a real fact. Well, let me tell you something. I would have probably been in my first marriage still if mm-hmm. both of us had been saved when we got married.
Okay, do you think that's important that both parties, both, you know, the man and the woman are both saved? Do you think that's a key issue
in the
marriage
factor.
Lasting?
I think it's a very important factor, very.
In the oneness.
Yes. And let me explain that a little bit. Now, if I saw Reverend Williams, and I know he's married. If I saw him and he appeared to me and I didn't know the Lord or didn't have a relationship with God, mm-hmm. he wouldn't have to say anything to me. I would approach mm-hmm. him.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
And so a lot of times we just kind of run after what we see or what we think we want. Mm-hmm. It may not be what God has for us or what mm-hmm. God designed us to have. But you know, if we want something, you know, we used to have this thing, oh, he's just too handsome. My high school boyfriend, oh, God, he was just too handsome. You see what I'm saying? So a lot of times we just grab a hold to whoever looks good to us.
Okay. Okay. And I guess that takes us back to, you know, last week I think I was telling you what a pastor had said some years back that every man or woman that you marry is not your husband or wife. That's the one you chose. It's not the one God chose for you.
Right. And sometimes we make mistakes by choosing ourselves.
Okay. So Reverend Williams, with that being said, Reverend Williams, with all that being said, is there ever a reason for a divorce?
Let me put it like this. She started reading the first part of that. And the where Jesus said, they asked, is there any reason? And so they went to talking about Moses, his law. And the first thing Jesus said, because the hardness of our hearts, we try to find reason. But Jesus, now understand what Jesus said. Because I know somebody don't have a difference, but Jesus said, only let it be for adultery. Only. Okay? Now, if we go over to 1 Corinthians, okay, chapter 7, now, it says, okay, it says, first off, it says in 7 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
It says, yeah, because I knew that one was coming up.
Well, because I'm getting ready to show you where folks want to come with their Paul began to tell them it's not good for people to get a divorce.
But if
a person wants to depart, let them depart.
Okay.
But depart in peace.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Paul says, and unto the married I command, yet not. I but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But, and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to find every avenue. And I know somebody going to go somewhere, and I'm going to just go on and say it and open up a can of worms, even in the beach. Ain't nobody saying stay there and keep getting beat on. But he said the word reconcile. People should try their best to work out. You don't have to stand there in it, but you can go live with a friend, tell that spouse, hey, look, you need to go get some help. And if he don't want to go get some help, then it's up to you to do what you want to do or you feel you need to do. Because a lot of times, a lot of us don't want to walk on the word of God. We want to walk in our own self-flesh.
Okay.
But Jesus said, let it only be for fornication. But now he was trying to say,
I'm going to stop you right there. Let it only be for fornication. And
right.
I want to ask this question. In the same book, 1 Corinthians 7 and 15, verse 15, it said, but if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. But God has called us to peace. So
that's what I'm saying.
If one of them is an unbeliever, is that a reason or no?
No. It said let the unbeliever depart if they want to depart.
Right.
It said you can depart.
No, that's what I said. Okay. The verse is saying.
But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. If he desires to move, let him go.
Okay.
But also, when we get into not just the marriage part, but we're talking about separation of divorce and unbelievers, because up at the top it says, and the woman which hath a husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him.
Okay.
I heard a lady say a long time ago, and it was on 16, 13, 61 in the channel, and she was saying, my husband was unbelieving. He was undrinking and this and this and da da da, and the Lord told me to leave him. I'm like, he did that. You wanted to leave because he wasn't doing what you wanted. But the Lord is saying, he tells us over in another verse that let woman be submissive to your husband. That's what Peter said, I think it is. And he says that your chastity may win that unbelieving husband over.
Okay.
We try to
I understand all that. I read the part I got the part where the wife, I get all that. The question is we're talking about the reasons. If there are any reasons, and we did come up with fornication. Allow me to finish, please. We came up with one reason, which was fornication, and I'm just simply asking. Even though you're saying that it's the unbeliever that leaves, if the unbeliever leaves, is that a reason for divorce?
No, it just says, only thing it says, if the unbeliever want to leave and he wants divorce, grant it to him. But if he wants to come back, if they want to, it also says reconcile. That's one thing. We keep trying to find, what I'm saying is, we're trying to find a reason, but deal with the word of God, that God is only saying that if a person desires they want to leave and get out of a marriage, let them go. But you don't be the one to initiate it. You don't be
the one to say,
okay, but it's saying if a person wants to get out of it, that's them. But he's saying to a believer, really, this is really for a believer. A believer is going to do the word of God.
Okay.
Unbelievers ain't gonna do it.
Okay, I understood that. I understood. Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead, Evangelist.
When the Bible says, And the Bible did say if he leaves, let him depart. But how many times you going to have to let him come back? Because you say,
that's my thing.
Let him become reconciled.
Okay.
But what if while he's gone, since he decided to leave, what if while he's gone, you decide to get remarried?
Well,
are you find somebody else while he's playing in and out?
Well, that's like it. Everybody done sinned up in there, okay? But we all have stepped in that footnote. Let me put it like this. I know some instances where folks tell somebody, well, the Bible says if they want to come back, come back. But now, if a person don't, let me put it like this. If a person walks off from another person and that person loved that person and wanted that person, but that person walked off and they done came to the conclusion they ain't coming back and I'm not getting ready to sit here and keep on moping, so I'm going to move on with my life. And that person all of a sudden snapped to their self and wants to come back, but you're not in love with that person no more, it ain't saying you got to take them back.
Okay.
It ain't saying, nothing like this. We have to look at the Word of God deeply and get in tune with the Word of God. Now, if you have the heart to say, okay, I'll take that person back, let us try to work out our marriage, you can take them back. And don't feel no harm about what friends or people going to say. Because that's usually when Jesus said, let no man put asunder. He's talking about the husband, the married, two married people, and other folks that dip into the marriage. People that want to get that advice, you ought to leave. You done just put a, you, and that person going and do it, you just broke up a marriage by your so-called wise counsel. Instead of trying to give a solution to the marriage. And the reason that marriages don't work is because Minister Williams said the first thing, if they don't know God, it ain't going to work. Now, if one know God and the other one don't, believe me, the house is sanctified by that one believer. The marriage is going to be sanctified. It's going to be anointed. It's going to be blessed. Because as long as that believer knows the Word of God. And as Minister Williams said, she's married, I'm married. And abuse don't just go with hands on. Abuse goes by the mouth. It goes by the actions people do. There are marriages that nowhere God said everything going to be a bed of roses. And I always hear people holler, God wants you happy. I ain't seen nothing in here where Jesus say he wants you happy. Because they say, is there any reason? Because you ain't happy. I want a divorce. But it's to each his own. Because happiness to me is greater as he that is in me than he is in the world. Book of Proverbs say it's better to be on a rooftop than to be in the house with a contentious woman. But I look at it, to happiness is how I look at my marriage. If I stick to the man's part, one thing about it, people want to stick to the men want to look at the woman part, and the woman want to look at the man part. And we get everything twisted and throwed off. Because if the woman do her part and the man do his part, your marriage gonna work. If you
That's
get
right.
people out of your, if you get family out of your, number one, women need to understand, when you get married, it ain't say you kick your family or your mama and your dad or whoever you brought to the curb. It's letting you know your husband come first in every decision. It is why I don't marry young folks hardly no more unless they want counsel. I don't want that under my belt that I marry somebody next thing you know they divorce. No, you don't want counsel, I ain't doing it. You need to go talk to somebody else. And so we need to understand marriage is an agreement to God and to each other. that ring is a ring that means it's a ring that is unbroken. It stays together. It signifies togetherness.
Okay,
go on. I can tell you two people that stood up there with the largest wedding in history, and they not only had one ring, they had two rings. The Lord wanted us to get two rings to seal our marriage, and where they at now. And everybody just about know who I'm talking about. Because they ain't have God in their heart. And so the thing is that people need to stop and think about what they're doing before they do it. And what it is a commitment to God. That's what God is saying. Jesus is saying. He ain't said you can't. It's each his own. But we all have gotten divorced. We all have broken it. Folks, we got married 3-4 times. They definitely broke it. But I mean, when I come to learn the word of God about marriage, live or die until death do us part. And I ain't getting ready to kill him. He might try to kill me. But I'm not getting ready to kill him. I'm going to pray for him. I'm going to pray for myself first. I'm going to pray for her. And God give me strength. But I'm going to love her to the end. I don't care what it goes. I could be a no good dog. I could be whatever. I just tell her, hey, you respect me. But other than that, that's my wife. My duty is to her. As Christ, Ephesians 5, tells me, love them.
Okay. Now, with all that being said, we talked about the if there is any reason for divorce. We skipped the marriage part and went straight to the reasons for divorce. Okay. We know that the marriage means that you become one flesh. Okay, you become one. Now, you've said it a couple times that you know, pretty much everybody's been married more than once. Now, is being married a second time different than remarriage? And is there a difference according to the scripture?
Yeah. You sin. It's just
well, just sin and keep on going.
So it's a sin. It's a sin to get married a second time.
Yes.
Okay. So is it a sin to remarry? So is it a sin to remarry?
Not to your wife. Okay, to the one you first married to.
Okay.
You're not gonna sin to remarry her. Oh, they're saying re-reconcile. But when
okay.
You go to somebody.
I'm okay.
Mrs. Williams, you have the scripture right there already.
Yeah, well, if your husband or wife died, you know that you're free to get married again.
Right.
But
okay.
Reverend Williams said that well, all of us are sin. Now, I'm not going to put it like I sin. Because my husband put me away, and it wasn't for the cause of fornication.
Mm-hmm.
He threw myself outside because I went to church, and he told me not to go.
Mm-hmm.
Reverend Williams, if he was alive and he could hear me say this, I said to his face, I really don't care. He threw myself outside. He put me away and didn't have a reason.
Right.
And
okay.
I was gone, okay? I was gone, and I remarried again, and I'm free. And he was free.
And you were not the unbeliever that left.
Well,
that's
why.
The unbeliever
from here. I knew it was going to be
on. You know what? I wish. The stuff I know.
Help me, Lord. I was trying. I was trying to get to where
William,
Jesus.
You better not say I'm saying,
She's so
just knew this was going to be happening. But Jesus, there is a scripture where Jesus began to talk about marriage. And he began to talk about divorce. And Jesus was telling them in divorce, they was asking if a woman married a brother and he died, and she married another.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, but Jesus began to tell them that a woman that remarries after her husband passed away, that's not a sin.
Right, that's what Evangeline Williams just explained.
Okay, now, if a husband, Jesus gave two answers. If a husband who is married puts his wife away, causing her to go and marry somebody else, he committed a sin. And he calls her to sin. That's what I'm saying. We all done believe. You see.
Yeah, it's all right.
But at the time that we done it, we really didn't know and understand. It's different when you know and you. It's a different when you know and you done did. If I do it now, okay. At the time, some things happened in my life I didn't know. But as I said, the word of God is for believers. Unbelievers don't know. Okay? But it's for the preachers to tell them before they even marry, to let them know and show them to the word of God, whether they believe or not. But as Minister Williams said, like me, if you two people ain't saved, I ain't gonna mess with you. I believe that. I'm like a preacher. Marriage is sacred. And two heathens, as soon as they get together, they had a first fight. Guess where they going? Okay? People have to understand, because once you get married, possibility you got children come. Children involved. A whole lot of things involved. But God is trying to get us to understand that a man that put away his wife and she married somebody else, he calls her to see. And he that put his way a wife to get with somebody else, she go marry somebody, he done seen good. And so that's why Jesus said for fornication, that if you put your wife away just so you can get somebody else, you mess. And so the thing is, God is trying to get us to understand we're supposed to stop and think in a marriage. And marriage between, and when it says a twain between two, it's talking about male and female.
That's right.
It ain't talking about Adam and Steve and Eve and Eve. It's talking about Adam and Eve, male and female. Because
that's right.
Two things alike can't produce nothing. Marriage is called is also for reproduction.
They can produce a myth.
And the only thing you can produce out of two people of the same sex marriage. And even when I hear some of these preachers and other ministers that sit up there and went alone and condoned it, they just lost two. They ain't even in the word of God.
That's right.
They just missed it too. Because even the book of Romans tells us that. Okay? And so God is trying to get us to understand he meant for marriage to be between a male and a female.
Amen.
Because the only thing you can produce out of two males and two females is nothing but sin. Because later on in life, you'll find that somebody laying there with AIDS, somebody dying, and they still trying to sit there and comfort somebody. And still trying to, and like I say, that is an abomination. Now, look up the word abomination. But I can
So homosexuality. We've skipped over the remarriage part. We didn't, because you said if you get married a second time, it's a sin. If you remarry, it's a sin, and if you get married again, it's a sin. Oh, unless you remarry your first wife.
Unless you probably remarrying your first wife or your first husband.
Okay.
You can't
beat. Well, shut up, Pat. So here we go. Here's the thing. If I was married before, you know, my children's father. I was married before, okay? And we divorced. He remarried, and I got remarried again. I got married again. I didn't get remarried. I got married again. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, and say I divorced that husband, or that husband and I got divorced. Now, which one of my husbands would it be lawful for me to marry if I were to remarry one of them?
Lord help me, Jesus. I could not tell you that one, man. But I most likely would tell you, as Jesus had put it, your first husband was really
my,
your husband.
My first one?
Yeah, that's really your actual husband. That's
okay.
What the Bible tells.
So the second one that I married is really not my husband.
Well, y'all got married. It's just a bunch of trash gone. It's just a bunch of stuff gone now.
Okay.
I mean, that's what I'm just saying. It's time. Okay, let me be like this, Sister Shoe.
Okay.
I'm
going to stop messing with you because, see, I know Evangelist William over there, her head about to blow off because she dead about to eat it up. That Pastor William's not a husband.
Pastor, if she don't want me, I'm just telling you, just got a, it's like a bunch of gumbo. You got gumbo there. You just got a bunch of.
Okay, so.
I mean, that folk, people that married 5-6 times.
That's
well,
right.
You know, if I could find 5 or 6 husbands, I'd probably get married 5 or 6 times.
Yeah. My daughter's a pastor. She was married 4 or 5 times.
I would get married, you know, until I get the right one.
But I'm saying, right. If you, only thing I'm saying, if you're into the word of God, I don't care if you're preaching, I don't care who you are, you ought to be convicted about something. I know there are many preachers that married 4 or 5 times.
Uh-huh.
Me, I call that nasty.
Well, but what if
okay.
What if it wasn't their fault? What if they were not the unbeliever in the marriage? You did say the unbeliever can leave.
Well,
what if they were not the unbeliever?
That's not their fault.
What if they were not the unbeliever?
But the thing is, whether you have an unbeliever or not, you married them.
Didn't the word say that if the unbeliever want to leave,
they can leave.
Didn't we read that a little while ago in the word?
And they get it, but it also says if they want to come back. You know, I mean, if the unbeliever want to leave, let them leave. Okay.
Okay.
If
it says, but if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. But
right.
God has called us to peace.
Right. So you're supposed to leave in peace.
If he is the unbeliever, say I'm married to somebody, say I'm a believer, and I'm married to someone who is an unbeliever, and that person want to leave, you telling me if they want to come back, I have to take them back even though they come back as an unbeliever?
No.
And live without peace?
This is how Paul is trying to make the statement. Paul didn't get deadly specific. He's saying that, okay, understand. With if the unbeliever wants to leave.
Okay.
And you didn't want that unbeliever to leave.
No, I didn't read that part. Wait a minute, hold on. Now I didn't read that. I didn't read in there where it said if I didn't want him to leave. Now you know what my favorite word is. We're gonna let God speak for Himself. We're not gonna be adding the bits and pieces in there.
Okay, I'm adding. I'm telling you.
No. It didn't say I didn't want him to leave. Cause let me tell you something, Reverend William. Let me tell you something. Now you know me, Evangelist William. Know me. Once he left. I wanted him to leave at that point. He left.
You
want to
leave? Go.
Yeah.
Okay.
He go.
And
we're not.
If a person stand there and wants somebody to leave just so they can say I can get a divorce, you said sin too.
No, I said if he is an unbeliever, and now you can't cross me up like that. If he is an unbeliever and he wants to leave, once he leaves, I don't want him back. He's gone. So at that point, he's gone. I want what he wants. We both want him gone.
Let me put it to you like this. I had to experience the same thing myself. I loved this person, my wife. She left. But then she found she wanted to come back. So I took her back. But if I didn't want her and she wanted to come back, doesn't mean I have to take her back. You understand what I'm saying now? That's the only thing I'm saying. The word of God
okay,
is
but
amazing.
But the Bible
it lets us know.
We keep adding parts to bits and pieces that we make it up
I'm
from scripture along the way here.
I'm doing the exegesis and the eisegesis, but don't worry about it. But anyway, the only thing I'm saying is, and put it short, a person want to deal with that, that's up to them. Okay?
Not if we live according to the word. No, it can't be up to us if we live according to the word.
Well, according to the word, it says, go ahead, minister.
The Bible says that if an unbeliever wants to depart, then depart. But he's an unbeliever. And if you say, if he wants to depart, you don't have to let him come back. You don't have to want him back. You know, if you married and y'all wasn't both saved in the first place, then let him go on about his business and maybe the Lord will bless you with a saved one like he did me.
Okay.
But there's a scripture that says if they desire to come back, let them come back.
But let me tell you this. If they desire to come back and I've moved on, you just tough luck.
Okay.
But wait a minute. See, here's what's happening here. You're saying what the scripture said, Reverend William. You're absolutely right. That's what the scripture says. And Evangelist Williams is saying what the scripture says, and she's absolutely right. But what's happening is, Reverend Williams, the scripture, you're taking a line from one scripture, and you're putting it with the line from the other scripture, and you're putting them together. And 1 Corinthians 7 and 15, I read it word for word. It said, after it says, if the unbeliever departs, let him depart, it says that the brother or sister is not under bondage.
So we can't go back
up there and say, let him come back, because it's saying here in the one scripture, it says you're not under bondage. So that means you don't have to let him come back.
No, it says if they leave, okay, and they got a divorce, you are no longer under the bondage of. That's all it's saying.
Right,
but
it didn't say the word divorce. It said if he depart, let him depart.
And you are not.
Now I'm
going
to have to find.
Bondage.
Now which version is it that says divorce?
Now, because
I'm reading
the
King James.
It says if they depart.
Okay,
then
they go New Life Version. New
Let
National
them
Version.
Come back. That's the only thing I'm saying. Okay, it's to each his own. Now, that's the only thing I can put it because everybody gonna find a reason.
Okay.
Ain't no way to get around.
Well, I'm just going to have something to repent for because he ain't coming back.
No man,
he's just not coming back.
Well, you can't repent for something you didn't know.
that I wasn't gonna let him come back.
No. When I got my divorce, my first divorce. Okay, I married. I lived with women. I did everything. okay? And what I didn't know until I learned the word God. I see.
Reverend Williams, did you hear what she said? She said somebody should have whooped you.
Probably should have. But I didn't know then what I know now.
Okay.
Like I said, when we went through, the thing was that only thing I did was allow the Spirit of God and the Word of God to step in at that time, because I was in the ministry then.
Mm-hmm.
And the one I have now, we went through that.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing I could do was listen to the Word of God and allow the Spirit of God to mold in me. And I sometimes that thing want to make you say you regret, but I have no regrets, because that's only faith. And I hear people say, was your first wife, was that your wife? Yeah, you said yeah, that was your wife. It was predestined already. Everything we did was predestined. It was already made there.
Okay,
now. Whether God sent him or whether God didn't send him, you the one stood up there and said, okay. That's why I'm talking about the unbeliever. Because whoever married an unbelieving husband, they were the believer. They were going by what they want.
All right.
You have to deal with it.
Okay, Reverend William. Okay. I'm going to just say this last part of this 15th verse, because this 15th verse is just working on my mind here. And the last part of it, it says, God has called us to live in peace.
Yes.
And it says that. Now, it does say about the depart. It says that. I read that whole verse. And the last part of it says, God has called. That's why they're not bound by the circumstances, because God has called us to live in peace. So if that unbeliever coming back is not going to give me no peace, then I don't have to take him back. I don't have to do that. I'm going according to the scripture.
But it's more than just that scripture. It also says if they desire to come back, let them come back. That's what scripture says. But you have to read into it, okay? We can't.
Okay. Well, we might well go on past that one, because I don't even like to use the word agree to disagree, because there's no such thing in my mind. You can't agree to disagree. You just disagree or you agree. So, from what I'm looking at, it tells me that I do not have to take the unbeliever back. Because God has called us to live in peace. That's what I see. So now I want to ask another question.
But let me ask this one first. Now, if
you
separated or divorced and it was a havoc and a mess,
mm-hmm.
you don't need to be reconciled if you're going to still be a messed up situation. It's no such thing. A lot of people want to become reconciled, and then that's exactly the reason. Want to be reconciled because they know you cook and you can work and pay them bills, okay? So if they left for whatever reasons of disturbance or whatever, then it's not in the will of God that we suffer in our marriages. Marriages are ministries. We're supposed to be loving, kind. It's a fellowship. It's a worship. It's all kinds of good things.
Mm-hmm.
God don't want to
mm-hmm.
see no marriage where it's havoc and where it's you got to wear shades in the wintertime because you got a black eye. But
and that's why we are called to live in peace.
That's right.
I'm gonna acknowledge somebody, and then I want to ask this question. Is this Minister Cook on the line? No. Minister Bobby? Now, it's one of the two is on the line, 972.
Miss Regina.
She don't stop hanging up that phone. She just hung up the phone. Okay. okay. I didn't know who it was. I know it was a 972 number. I thought it was Minister Cook. Okay. Now, by me marrying, I understood Reverend Williams, and I'm going to ask Evangelist Williams. I understood Reverend Williams to say that since I have had two husbands, if I wanted to remarry, I would have to remarry. Not on a personal level, but on a spiritual level, I would have to remarry my first husband. That's what I heard. Now, how do you feel about that?
Well, he's already remarried. You can't remarry him.
You know what? You're going to time out in just a few minutes.
You remarried. You can't remarry him.
Why
can't he get a divorce and we get remarried?
No, that's all.
Okay, well, what if he was single? What if he were not married? What if
you
he were not married? I should remarry him.
If that's what you decide y'all want to do. But I would say best if it didn't work the first time, find out why it didn't work. Then see what you are willing to. Well, in other words, if you got a divorce, you separated, whatever, it was issues. Issues was personal
mm-hmm.
issues.
Why?
Your issues with him, his issues with you, he not seeing, you not seeing. You have to
No, I was perfect.
Now, that's what you may see. He may feel that you wasn't. It's not about who
you're in denial.
We always have to, we have to understand, nobody is one person at fault. Something somebody needs. When God came into God, Adam was trying to point the finger at Eve, Eve was trying to point the finger at Satan. And the thing is, God wants us to be responsible for the things that we do. What did you do?
I did absolutely nothing.
She don't want to tell
you. You may feel that way, but I'm telling you, you did something.
No, I know. I did absolutely. Well, let me explain this to you. For the listeners, Reverend Roosevelt thinks he knows me, but let me explain this. And I'm really enjoying this discussion. I'm having so much fun. But listen, I spoke with my first husband about what caused our problems. And he admitted to me that it was not me that caused the problem, that it was, well, I take that back. You're absolutely right. I did do something. I went to work, and he didn't want me to work.
Oh, my.
He said that was the problem. When he did not want me to work, and I went to work, that caused the problem.
But that wasn't even a choice for no divorce.
Excuse me?
It was just what in the balance. Well, they didn't leave that alone. But I'm just saying, people have to stop and see what is it, okay? Just because my wife walked out on me, I can't say, oh, she did, da da da. A lot of things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, I had to stop and ask God, Lord, what did I do? And I had to think about, and as I thought about, my little bit of my arrogance, little bit just because I got saved, I wanted everything to stop cold turkey.
Mm-hmm.
I had to think about that. That was my wife who had feelings also. And it took time for me to really to understand.
But you know,
and
this
so
is confusing.
What was that?
It's confusing because you're saying that this would be your wife. But at the same time, you told me that my first husband was my husband.
Yeah, because that's what Jesus said.
Okay, so
but if
then,
you got remarried, you know, the only thing I'm saying, it's a mess. Because if you got remarried and by 5 or 6 or 10 times, you don't know who. I'm just saying, this is the only thing I'm saying. In life, we all have to make our own decisions.
You're absolutely right. We do. We all do. We do.
Because everybody.
We do have to make our own decision. But if we're gonna live, if we're gonna walk the faith walk, and we're gonna live according to the word, we have to do it in accordance with the word. Now, what we've already done, everything that we've already done, the fact that we have been remarried and we've done that, then that's a part of the old anyway. So we don't even have to focus on that. Yeah, we're gonna put an amen on that one, because this discussion.
Just say, go and sin. Go, just do like Jesus. Go and sin no more.
We're gonna put an amen on this, because Evangelist William over there about to choke herself.
And do like I done, get married and live happy.
That's it. Yeah. Live in peace.
Because the thing is, I'm looking at the live in peace. Okay.
Yeah, that's a good thing to look at.
It says, but if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such case.
Mm-hmm.
God has called us to peace.
Right, to live in peace. Has called us to live in peace.
Now, hold on. Let me give you the commentary here. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such case. The believer is not under obligation. Try to continue living with the unbeliever. Peace. If the unbeliever were forced to live with the believer, if they were forced, that's what it's saying, to live with the unbeliever, okay, it says there would be no peace in the home.
Exactly. We've been saying that the whole time. So would you remarry an unbeliever? If you were in a situation where you and your first, second, third, whichever one wife you were with, the unbeliever departed and came back, would you remarry that unbeliever?
It depends. I mean, it's like this. The word you were laughing at earlier, if they're a helium, I ain't getting ready to get back with you.
You didn't say they were no helium. You said they were a helium.
We're
gonna leave it alone.
I really, we need
to.
Well, we're gonna move on to another one of our topics here, because I think we had too much fun with that one.
I want to ask Reverend Williams a question.
Okay,
Reverend Williams.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, that was so sweet the way you said that. Yes, ma'am.
Because he know you but getting ready to.
I know it's getting ready to be something. I was prepared for all this. I kind of broke my speech
to
get ready. Everybody do what they
want to
do.
Reverend Wiggins, let me ask you a question. Now, you've been married. This is your second marriage?
Mm-hmm.
Your second one, right?
Yeah.
You realize the things that you've done in your first marriage to your part to help to get a divorce, right? Now, in this marriage, were you a believer when you married in the second marriage?
No. We found each other in the club.
Okay, I understand your point. All right. Now, this is why, then, you feel obligated. Is your wife saved at the time?
No.
Okay. Well, then that's why I understand. That's why you feel obligated. Your duty as a husband to stay in the marriage and make the marriage work.
The reason I do it is, as I was just saying, It was the spirit and the word of God.
Okay.
It wasn't me. In other words, when I read Ephesians, it says, love him as Christ loved the church. And how did the church the church always going to act a fool. Jesus started talking in Ephesians 5 about how the church is going to be. It says, submit yourself one to another. I've learned. My wife come in sometime, want me to wash dishes and do all this here. I've learned to humble myself and go and wash some dishes.
Okay.
I don't be sitting there trying to watch a game. I need you to go to the store. I don't want to watch the game. So I get up and go to the store.
Okay.
I learn sometimes she gripe and grumble and this and that and that and that. But the one thing she had to do is she ain't took a knife or a gun to me.
Okay.
But she okay. God has taught me. And
yes.
She teaches me everything.
Okay.
Because my whole desire is to be a pastor. And if I get mad at the congregation because they don't act the way I want to act, how could I be a pastor?
Okay.
I'm a pastor of my own house. I'm the head. I'm the leader. And leadership ain't, being a head ain't about bringing home how much money I can make or trying to show my man. It's about crying when she hurts, okay? Taking the bitter with the sweet.
Okay.
It's about that which Christ suffered for. Is that long suffering, that's the part, that's one part I learned. And sometimes that thing comes, you'll pack it up. But then that spirit comes and says, that's your wife.
Right.
And sometimes we leave wives in some bad and bitter situations because we got mad. We leave them standing there with the bills. We leave them standing there trying to struggle with children because we got our own self-centered self. If I'm going to leave my wife, it's got to be for a darn really good reason.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm hearing a beating in the phone. Something.
That's somebody else.
Okay.
But okay. I called it, child.
You,
1 hour subject. Go ahead.
Okay. So you understand that scripture that a sanctified husband will sanctify the wife, and vice versa.
But
okay.
I do understand that the husband, that one sanctified person, okay, the whole house becomes blessed. Now my wife goes to church. Okay. She just don't, like it. Some folks don't act like the rest. We had that talk in church. Until people can come to the knowledge, what I learned is, don't ask God to change her to what I want, but ask God to change her to what he wants. And in due time, in the right seat, she's going to be everything that I would like. But I thank God because let me put it like this. Yesterday, she didn't have to fix me no Father's Day meal for fix no damn. But I had me 2, 4, 5 different types of plates. And the thing is, I try to find the good out of her instead of trying to find the worst.
Right. I understand. I understand. But as a duty, otherwise, she was supposed to make sure you had food. Tomorrow, yesterday, and today, and every day—that's one of the responsibilities of a wife.
But what I'm trying to get people—we have the same types. Everybody is not everybody. Everybody is not into the word. Everybody don't do what they supposed to. We know what's supposed to go supposed to be, but everybody don't do supposed to. Old folks supposed to love their neighbor, but everybody don't do it. Do they?
Right.
The only thing I'm saying is, I can't expect her to be at that level. But one day God's going to bring her there. But for me,
that's
look what she's supposed, not what she's supposed to do. But as I walk into that level, I'm supposed to walk as that example of Christ that hopefully it'll win her hope.
That's beautiful.
Okay? And so my thing is to love her unconditionally.
That's beautiful.
Because my condition is, a man asked a question a long time ago. He said, what can make you love, what can make you love your spouse? And one woman got to talk about, he honored me, he cherished me, he do this. And so the man said, well, how about you doing it first? So if I do it first, and whether she gives back or not, there are some folks inconceivable. But as long as you do it for the Lord.
That's right.
Hey, look at Job. I don't know if Job got a new wife, but the Bible says he got a new family. But his wife, old wife, says, won't you curse your God and die? I don't know if Job divorced or got another wife. I don't know if it was the same one who God changed into a whole new type of person. One thing about it, Job was happy with it.
Yes, the Bible says the latter was better than his former.
So the only thing I'm saying is everything I do, I try now. I can be holding it now. But one thing I try to look at is nobody but God in the midst of it all.
Amen.
Okay?
That's beautiful. All
right. Now, we are going to move on now that Reverend Williams has cleared that up for us.
That's beautiful. God bless him.
All right. we're supposed to discuss 1 Corinthians 6, 15 through 17, and then 1 Corinthians 7, 10 through 15. So, who would like to take the first? And
well,
I'm going to play this commercial real quick before.
Okay. We can hit on both of those, though.
Okay.
We can hit on
all right.
Yep.
But, go ahead.
Well, let me play this commercial real quick, and then we'll come
okay.
back.
Okay. All right.
It's the Gigantic Gospel Concert 2013, featuring four of the biggest female gospel artists in the industry, like Pastor Shirley Caesar, Tamala Mann, Sunday's Best Leandra Johnson, Kathy Saylor and Favor, and hosted by Pastor Kim Burrell, Saturday, September 14th at Friendship West Baptist Church, 2020 West Wheatland Road in Dallas. Get your tickets now at Friendship West Baptist Church. Call them at 972-228-5200 and Jace Spivey Productions. It's the Gigantic Gospel Concert 2013, featuring four of the biggest female gospel artists in the industry, like Pastor Shirley Caesar, Tamala Mann, Sunday's Best Leandra Johnson, Kathy Taylor and Favor, hosted by Kim Burrell and David Mann, a.k.a. Mr. Brown, Sunday, September 15th at the Bernard G. Johnson Coliseum on the campus of Sam Houston State University. For ticket info, call 877-291-1918. And don't miss Shirley Caesar and Tamala Mann.
Okay, the first commercial was for Dallas, Texas, and the second one was for Huntsville, Texas. Evangelist Williams. we hear you laughing, Evangelist Williams.
Oh, heaven, Lord.
I was laughing at Regina because she said she wanted to ask Ella for Reverend Williams. Oh, my God.
Right.
She wanted to ask Reverend Williams, of course. So Regina's on the line. Actually, Regina.
All right.
See, you were home for a bit. Reverend, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing fine. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing blessed and highly favored of the Lord. I just was reading in the Word of God, and I want to know what an Enoch was.
Huh?
An Enoch or Enoch or whatever that word is. I don't know what it was, so I want to know what it is. Can you explain it to me? And help me out.
Enoch.
Uh-huh.
Enoch.
Yeah,
Enoch was one.
Let me go to the Word of God. Well, I don't want to say
God.
The wrong scripture.
Enoch.
Enoch. No. I know what that is. That's a man that followed God.
Oh, you're talking about
Enoch. Yeah, Enoch. Yeah, whatever it was. You know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm.
Well,
he was
trying to explain. Okay, go ahead, finish what the course is.
What the Enoch is, yeah, whatever it is. I want to know what it is.
Definitely, Lord Jesus. Okay. Now I know where you're going. They asked Jesus, is it good to marry? And so Jesus was trying to get them, just as Paul was saying, that Paul said he'd rather not be married.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about being married. Paul was never married. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing is that, as I tell another lady, that all was married, so he's too ugly to find one. But no, no, he was an ugly man. Dude began to say there are Enochs by birth, there are Enochs by making, there are Enochs by their own will. So he was saying that there are men who have been castrated and cannot, okay, they came into the world and cannot have any kind of effect with their wives or woman.
Oh, Lord.
He was saying that there are Enochs who has been they have been, well, y'all ask, I'm just going.
Enoch
is a castrated man. But Jesus is only saying that there are men who don't even marry from, they walked this whole life and hadn't got married.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then he was saying there are Enochs who have been made Enochs by men.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? In other words, there are people who choose to be married, but then they done got a divorce, something like that. And then he was saying there are those who choose not to marry.
Mm-hmm.
But he's saying each one has to be able to deal, especially one who chooses not to be married. That's a celibacy. You have to be strong in will and strong in mind, strong in spirit to do that. Okay? So that's what a Hebrew is. The scripture is over there. You're talking about in verse, chapter 19, verses we were in, right?
Uh-huh, verse 12, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, yeah, like I said, to get a real good understanding of it, let me go to verse 12 here.
Mm-hmm.
This is what it's saying. This is what the commentary places here. Made themselves Enochs for the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, we're going to go ahead and cover that and wrap that up so we can move on to the next, because we still have a couple of topics that we have not covered yet. I know we mentioned it, but we haven't covered it. We haven't discussed it. But go ahead and give other commentary
anyway,
on that.
Jesus said, right. Those who have popularity to celebrate lifestyle, okay, those who have voluntary doctrine to celebrate, in order to give themselves more completely to God's work under certain circumstances. Celibacy is recommended to Scripture, but it's never presented as superior to marriage. So in other words, Jesus is saying there are those who want to marry, but they decide not to. There are those who do get married. But he was just trying to get them to understand, if you choose not to marry, because you want your life to be for the Lord, you got to be able to make sure that's what you can do. Because there's a whole lot of things you got to deal with, you know. And the flesh, as Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't going that route. That's another reminder to my wife. I ain't got time for that. So.
Specifically,
we didn't
say the
Matthew
chapter,
19,
but we did cover 19, 3 through 12. We did cover it.
Okay.
Okay.
Now we on 1 Corinthians 6, 16 and 17.
Reverend Williams said that we had discussed that, but I know we touched on
certain
parts of
it. We touched on it, but You did touch on it. You can get ready to go into some
scripture.
Okay, well, what we go before we get to that, we're gonna talk about homosexuality in marriage.
Homosexuality in the marriage?
Yes. Same sex marriage. Now we were supposed to find scriptures that
same-sex marriage.
Right.
You're saying homosexuality in the marriage or homosexuality as marriage?
Well, if they're married, they're in the marriage. But what we're talking about is same-sex marriage.
Book of Romans. Okay. And in the book of Romans, let's just start at verse 21. Okay.
Verse 21 in what chapter?
Chapter 1. Okay, we gonna work. I'm gonna read the whole thing. I don't like to read the piece of it, but it really works all the way to verses 29. But you can read verses 29 because it started giving me examples in 29. But I want to show whereas. Now, this is a Christian. Like I said, this is Paul writing to the church. Okay? These are Christians. These are people who wants to play around with this stuff. And then it's for us as Christians, let the world know he thinks it's all right. And a lot of folks who want to say they love God and they believe in God, they want to live this type of life.
Mm-hmm.
And so here it says, chapter 1, verse 21, it said, because I'm coming from the King James. Now, anybody got the NIV, you can read it later. But it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was dark. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God to an image made like to corruptible men and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affection. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Mm. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts, one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not received. And then he goes going to begin talking about what are those things, which is sin itself, okay? And you can read from, if you like to, from verse 29, everything that is. But he was saying that in the church, you had people talking about they loved God, but yet they were doing everything that was abomination. If men started sleeping with men, women were sleeping with women. And God was letting you know, a reprobate means condemned, a condemned man.
Yes.
Now, you call it what you want, you can do what you want, and that's the only further I'm going. And that is an abomination. It's from the Old Testament all the way up to here.
Okay.
Do you have anything to add, Evangelist Williams?
It's a stench in his nostrils. I agree with Reverend Williams. God just disagreed with it. He's not going to put up with it. He might put up with it, but he's not.
Because, you know, I know there are a lot of people that say, God loves me. Yeah, God loves all of us. From the saved to the sinner. But he's not getting ready to put up with that no good thing, is he? Not even the saved, not even the sinner. He let everybody know. No man has any excuse. That's why he said, let the wheat and the tares grow together. It's not me to condemn you. God letting you know, making your way toward hell and fire. And so if people want to get upset, I mean, hey, life you want to live, that's your lifestyle. Hey, don't try to make me believe it's okay, because it's not.
Okay, is it okay that that believers accept an individual, say a family member, who is a homosexual?
Let me put it like this. Same thing came up when we had a preacher say, if my son turned out like that, I'd put my foot up his chest. Let me put it like this. My child, my family member, what a family member becomes and what they are, that's their choice. But they still my family. Remember now, what a person decides they want to be, God still don't show love toward it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He ain't getting ready to cut none of us out. You say I reign upon the unjust just as well as I reign upon the just. Let the wheat and the tares grow together. He is doing separating in due time. But right now, God still gonna show love because he gave Jesus and he made him available to all. Jesus says, I stand knocking at the door. I'm standing going to knock at that door. And I hope you allow me to come in and suck with you. But when the time comes, he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew. And the only thing I'm saying is that when I look at my family members, and not just homosexual, family members who've done murders, prison, everything else. The thing is, they're still my child. My child is my child. I'm not going to condone what he do. But if he has to go to jail or he go to prison, he has to sit in, I'm there for his support to get him through the ordeal that he's going through. But I'm not getting ready to condone what he did. You understand what I'm saying? I ain't getting ready to cast him out because if he's a homosexual, I'm not getting ready to cast him out because they like that. Or if she is my granddaughter or my daughter is gay, I'm not getting ready to cast them out because that's what they are. That's what they choose to be. I'm going to let them know, hey, it's wrong. Okay? They want to put tattoos on their body. I'm going to let them know, hey, man, you can hurt yourself like that. You don't defy. Your body is a temple of God.
Okay, so by you as a believer not casting them out, so to speak, when we're going to use that word, I don't like that word, but I know what you mean, but not casting them out, do you think that it would lead them to believe that you accept the lifestyle or that you condone the lifestyle?
No, they can't listen. No, if you tell them, I do not like it, I do not condone it, it is not a goal. But yet, you hungry, you need a place to lay your head, you need to get your life together, come on in and sit down and get a lay down. Come on in and eat. We have a family reunion, come on, the family reunion. Whatever my life, I'm not getting ready to kick them to the curb. Because if that's so, God would have kicked me a long time ago. But God placed us here to love one another. And the best thing I can do to them is to show the God in me that praying that hopefully somewhere they can find God. They can find God in Jesus themselves.
Okay, with that being said, speaking on homosexuality, if do you think that we know that homosexuality is an abomination, is wrong, is a sin, is all that? Is it more wrong for it to be? If the men lie together, and there is not a woman involved, or if it's more of a sin if two men are together and one of them has a woman or wife or whatever also.
It's an abomination either way it goes.
It's an abomination, and just shortly that dirty and nasty.
It doesn't matter why, if they both ways or whichever way. The Bible says Adam and Eve, and I heard Minister Sweden say in the beginning, it's not two women, it's not two men, it's not two women and one man, or three women and two men, or whatever. It's a husband and a wife.
Okay.
That's why the Bible specifically identifies.
But if he's married and doing homosexuality, and you want to bring that mess home and give it to your same people, you know.
Well, I asked that in reference to Leviticus 20 and 13. That's why I asked the question.
Leviticus.
Chapter 20, verse 13. If a man also lie with mankind, as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them.
20 and 13.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And it says, as he lies with a woman. But.
That's not talking about the man. It's talking about both men.
Both men, right.
It's what the abomination is saying is if two men lie with each other like they would lie with a woman,
like they
would, because God made woman for a man and a man for a woman.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't make two men to do nothing and two women either.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
everybody's in agreement that homosexuality, same sex, anything, whether it's marriage, dating, going to the movie, no, just anything is a sin.
It's an abomination.
And it's an abomination.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, I think we just about covered everything. We covered the unequally yoked.
Well, that's strong, that's two believers. That's a believer who's going to get hooked up with a non-believer. That means a person who don't believe. See, we look at underneath the yoke there. We were talking about a person that's not saved and a person that's saved. You got a lot of people that say they believe in God, they just don't practice it. Okay? But the thing is, it's talking about a person like who worship Baal. They don't believe in God, period. They are atheists. That's what they call it. I don't believe in Baal.
So those are the unequally yoked, or the one that don't believe, or the atheist would be what you would consider, or what you're saying is considered unequally yoked? An atheist and a believer?
Yeah, because God gave a man over in the book of the prophets to go and marry a harlot. Sure did. And go in to marry her and stay with him. And she kept running away. He had to go get her. And if you want to say that's unequal, she was unequally yoked. And even our Bible, our scriptures we read, if there's one who's a believer and another one is a non-believer, in other words, they ain't saved. That's what non-believers are, people that ain't saved. Okay.
But is a non-believer necessarily an atheist?
Well, when they say he's unequally yoked, now, as I read in the commentary, that's what they say it is. That is a person that don't believe in God nor Christ. They probably be an atheist.
Because I'm wondering if there are people that believe in Christ, but they just have not committed their life to Christ. So would that person be unequally yoked with a person who...
Let me put it like this. I heard people say you can't change a working woman into a housewife.
It ain't
true. God can change anybody into anything. But the thing is, an unequally yoked person, remember, in the Bible, there are many women that say, your God will become my God. In other words, they have to believe and accept your God. Okay? I'm like this here. Now, me, myself, although I ain't planning on trying to get remarried, but if I was a single man, I was trying to find somebody. Well, as we do put it, as somebody that hadn't been saved, or, I wouldn't get really mixed up with that. But I do look at, I'd rather find someone that's believing in the Lord, that's saved.
Mm-hmm.
Just because a lot of folks go to church and jump up and down, that don't mean they go up with you. They just put on the clothes and go to church and talk Lord and God.
Mm-hmm.
By the time you get married, they can be the worst thing when you've been picked out.
Okay.
Who knows? But I'm just saying, a unequally yoked person is a person that don't believe. It was like Jezebel. She was an enemy of God. She was trying to kill anybody. It was all a prophet. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what God got
did
mad
you understand?
At.
Did you understand my question, or am I missing the answer?
No, I'm just saying, unequally yoked person is a person that is not a believer of God, period.
Okay, so it's an atheist, or what we label as an atheist.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
But other people,
that's what I was trying to ask, because I was wondering if, as I asked, if a person who has just not committed themselves to Christ, has not been redeemed, have not given themselves to Christ, if that person is equally yoked with, say Evangelist William was not married, and she met someone that did not had not that was not a faith walker, did not committed themselves to Christ, none of that, was still just out there living in the world, but they believed in God, and they believed that there was a God, there is a God, there is the Jesus Christ, they believed all that, but they just had not decided to walk that walk. So is that person equally or unequally yoked with Evangelist Williams?
I'm just saying the term of unequally yoked, this is the only thing I'm saying. It's a term that is using in the statement of the Bible, that's what it's saying.
Okay. So we're to understand that the only unequally yoked people, all unequally yoked people, are atheists.
Believe me, now understand now, before we ask serious on the serious tip on this, okay, it's to each his own, really. Because Christians believe that unequally yoked person is a person who just not committed their life to Christ. But that doesn't mean
okay,
they don't
that's what
believe
I just asked.
What I'm just saying, it's to each his own, because there are people that don't want to marry or be with somebody who don't go to church, who haven't committed their life to Christ.
Okay.
But that person believes in God. I would want to know. Okay.
All right.
But that
okay.
doesn't mean that. And that's the only thing I'm saying. That the true meaning means that somebody who is not a believer of God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, they don't believe in the period. They're atheists.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Solomon got hooked up with. It shows you in the Old Testament. Because God tells, I'm trying to think who, Hosea, I think it is, tells him to go marry a harlot. I'm trying to think who it is, the harlot Arab, one of the Israelites married her. She was a Gentile.
Mm-hmm.
She was a harlot. Okay.
Okay.
And even our Bible said over in Corinthians, if an unbelieving woman, it says an unbeliever, a woman who believes married an unbeliever. Okay.
So okay.
All the things
in that. Okay. So that. Okay. So we're gonna just leave it at that. Then that anyone that is unequally yoked is an atheist. Unequally yoked mean being an atheist.
Yeah. So in other words, a true believer don't believe in God. Period. He letting you know. And I hate to put it this way, but folks can say I'm already judging, but the Bible is soul is already cast in the head. Okay. But you see, all the folks that was there, okay, only thing I'm saying is there are people out there who believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them raised up in the church.
Mm-hmm.
But they just ain't getting ready to go that line. But if you find love in them, they find love in you. Who knows? You could probably change them. You know. But in today's time, a lot of Christians don't believe in hooking up with people who haven't turned their life over to Christ. As they say, a non-believer. But that doesn't mean that they're a non-believer, because they believe, but they just don't walk that line.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Right here, we're going to let you give us the information on your location, where we can, you know, find you, where if anyone need to contact you. Reverend Williams.
Oh, okay. I am Reverend Robert Williams, Jr. I'm associate minister at Blessed Hope Missionary Baptist Church, located at 3741 Coleman Street, Houston, Texas, 77013, where the pastor is Reverend J.D. Dingen. He's the pastor. We have Bible study which is every Wednesday night from 7 to 8. I'll have Sunday school starts on Sunday from 9:05 to 10:15. Our services start at 10:30. You're welcome to come by and visit us. We are a Bible study, Bible teaching church, and we do believe in sharing and showing you in the Word of God. We speak theology. We do theology. We have a new pastor, and he does teach and train by the Word of God. And I do the same thing. Matter of fact, I invite anyone who's in the Houston area to stop by on Wednesday night on the 10th if you want to hear. I am teaching on that night on the 10th of July, which is a Wednesday night. And we're going to talk about one of our topics, what is a Christian? So we're going to show from Scripture and everything. So I invite you to come on out. And not just that, but even on Sunday. And if you don't have a church home, come by. And if you like, we invite you to come on. But if you don't have a church home, we'll point you to one where you can feel more comfortable. But we always want you to come to Christ. We want you to find Christ. We want you to be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen. Evangelist Williams.
I'm Evangelist Williams. One of the evangelists at the Savings Faith Holiness Church in Dallas, Texas, where my husband, Ella James Williams, Jr., is the pastor. We have service on Sunday morning Sunday school at 9:45, morning worship at 12, Wednesday night, 7:30 to 8:30, Bible study, and each of the women of our church teaches. We rotated on Wednesday night. On Friday night from 7:30 to 8:30, we have prayer. And, of course, my number is 972-493-1953. Our church location is 1618 Exeter in Dallas, Texas. And if you're ever in the Dallas area, you come by a church that's Holy Ghost-filled and Bible-based. And we would love to have you join us at any time. God bless you.
All right.
And also, Sister Sugar, I'd like to leave our church number. Number there at Blessed Hope is 713-673-3032. And if you want to talk to me personally, you want to share anything, what we talk tonight, or whatever it is, if something bothers you or bugs you, you can reach me at 979-525-8533.
All right. I wanted to say to some of the listeners have gotten off the line, but that's okay. I just wanted to thank you all for listening in and being regular supporters of Faith-Based Purpose, and I hope you enjoyed the show. You know we do get a little silly sometimes, but it's all in love.
Amen.
And we will be back next Monday. We will not be back Thursday, right, guys?
Right.
We will not be back Thursday. The show will be back on Monday for discussions. Now, I may be on sometime during the week, so check back because I do have some gospel artists that I will be bringing on to interview them and introduce their music.
What is our topic on next Monday, the 24th?
We do not have a topic as of yet, I don't think.
Okay.
We don't have one as of yet. But
you guys have a good night, and I love you. Reverend Williams,
right.
I enjoyed you tonight. And if, I don't know, it seemed like we had a lot of things in common in the world. So I'm glad both of us are married now, okay? Y'all have a good night.
Good night. All right.
All right. Have a good one, miss.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I was walking downtown one day, and I saw a man who appeared to be just an old wino sitting on the street telling the people about Jesus as they passed by. And because he was all raggedy and dirty, people would just laugh and make fun of the old man and walk on by. And he said, because of the way I am, no money, no fancy clothes, fine homes and cars, a lot of people consider me as nothing and say I don't know what I'm talking about. But there's one thing that he said that really touched my heart and stayed on my mind. When that old man looked up and said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. He said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, I've had so many problems in my life that I just couldn't deal with. So I started drinking, thought it would help ease my pain. But things got worse, so I said, Lord, I give up. I'm in your hands.